You're tuned in to Global Waters Radio, a podcast series produced by the Water Team at the U.S. Agency for International Development. The series offers listeners insights from USAID officials, development partners, thought leaders, and experts from across the water sector as they discuss current USAID water programming and cutting-edge research from around the world. With Global Handwashing Day right around the corner on October 15th, this week on the podcast, we're speaking with Robert Dreibelbiss. Robert's an assistant professor at the University of Oklahoma's Department of Civil Engineering and Environmental Sciences, as well as the Department of Anthropology. And he now also lectures at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Today, we're talking with him about a very successful handwashing behavior change pilot project he was recently involved with in Bangladesh. Robert's going to share his thoughts on how the project induced handwashing behavior change without using traditional behavior change techniques. So to start things off, Robert, give us a little bit more background about your team's study and talk about the concept of nudging and how that relates to handwashing behavior change.
Yeah, so I'm here to talk about the study looking at behavior change related to handwashing with soap after toileting among primary school-aged children in Bangladesh. The study was done in a rural area a couple of hours northwest of Dhaka, and we were working in two primary schools. So all of the participants of the study were, you know, between ages of around 6 to 11. So what we were really hoping to do with this particular study was just to assess the feasibility of using nudges to change hand washing behavior. So nudges are a concept that instead of changing how people make decisions or the factors that people utilize when making decisions, you change the context in which those decisions are actually made. And it's really kind of changing the environment in which you make a decision. For us, that was hand washing with soap.
Well, tell us more about changing the context, changing the environment for hand washing. Did the schools you worked in have water and sanitation infrastructure that facilitated hand washing behavior change?
We picked two schools. Both of these schools had improved water supply access. They had a groundskeeper. So they had fairly robust infrastructure. They already had existing sanitation facilities. And before the intervention, there was just kind of a tube well that they would put a dish next to with soap in it that students could use to wash their hands throughout the day. So the first thing we did for this study, and I think is important in any kind of replication of this event, was first we decided our main focus was going to be hand washing after exiting the toilet. So we were really focused on changing behaviors after one very, very specific event. So anytime a student left the latrines, what could we do to make sure that they were washing their hands? What we ended up with was kind of very, very simple improvements in infrastructure, and on top of that, adding the nudges. So the infrastructure, we built a raised concrete platform to child height, added a very large plastic container. I think it held about 80 liters of water. And we built even a little soap dish onto the concrete platform. Once we had that in place, we started adding in the quote-unquote the nudge portion of the intervention. We built a brick path going from the latrines to these kind of new hand-washing stations. And I think the largest brick path was maybe 15 feet. And then a lot of paint. We painted the concrete, you know, bright green, so the hand washing station and the brick path were now these bright green colors. And we added on top of that a set of footprints modeled after a kind of child size footprints that led directly from the latrine to the hand washing station with a big golden arrow pointing directly at the hand washing station at the end of this path to kind of be a trigger for that behavior without providing any new information or hygiene education or, you know, steps on washing your hands or all of the other things that we traditionally think of in a hygiene promotion campaign.
Right, and that's a great point. This particular hand washing intervention didn't use games or classroom activities to get students thinking about hand washing in new ways. Instead, the approach pretty much revolved around bricks and paint. So give us a sense of how the students responded in the early going, and how did you monitor their hand washing activity?
Well, before we did anything, you know, we positioned trained observers in each of the schools to kind of sit in discrete locations and monitor whether or not children were washing their hands when leaving the latrine. You know, we got fairly detailed information on the behaviors. We recorded whether or not they washed one hand or two hands, whether or not they used soap or some other cleansing agent. And we used really kind of the most restrictive definition in terms of they had to wash both of their hands with soap in order for us to call it a hand washing event. At baseline, before we did anything other than just watching what was there, about 4% of students were washing their hands at the tube wells with the soap that was provided when they were exiting the latrine. Once we improved the infrastructure alone, so once we added the hand washing station and had the new hand washing tank out there, it went up to about 18%. So a relatively large jump considering we didn't do much at all. But then once we started layering on the nudges, that's where we saw some really huge jumps in hand washing. So once we built the brick path, that number went up quite a bit to, I think, about 58%. So right around 60% of kids were now washing their hands. And this is data collected the day after we built the brick path. And then once we added on the paint, we saw another 10% jump. So around 68% of students were washing their hands with soap. And part of the questions we had was, how long would that effect really last? And one thing we noted is 2 weeks later, so after we had installed the nudges, we went back to these schools and we saw observed hand washing. And assuming, I think I kind of had the assumption, this hypothesis, that after that bump, after we'd added everything, we'd kind of see things decline over time. So kind of a trickling down or, tapering down of the effect. But 2 weeks after we had finished the intervention, hand washing with soap was actually at 72%. So it had actually gone up by 4% in these schools. And then we went back another 4 weeks later, so a total of 6 weeks after we finished the intervention, and hand washing had remained right at 72%.
In terms of what other hand washing behavior change projects might take away from this study, what are some of the other X factors that you think contributed to the success of this intervention?
We were very lucky with this intervention, and I think it's something that warrants further exploration in other studies. The school groundskeepers really were involved in the intervention, and they kind of adopted it. And every morning they would put the water out and make sure that there was soap available. And that's kind of a rarity in these kind of school hand washing interventions, that supplies are made available to the students. But that was also one of the reasons we chose to work in a school, is that, we really only had to kind of change this one bit of infrastructure to hit multiple students. So, we were seeing over the kind of various data collection rounds, we witnessed over 1,000 toileting events. So, we could improve the infrastructure and have that infrastructure serve a large number of people. I think children are a little bit more receptive to these kind of subtle cues. There's fewer distractions in a school environment. There's not a lot of things competing for someone's attention. So really, children may be a little bit more receptive, particularly in a school environment, to these cues that really kind of influence behaviors without really changing the kind of cognitive process that goes along with them.
Going forward, what do you see as some of the main questions for investigation for developing this approach to hand washing behavior change?
Part of the question that we have about this is, why does it work? There's a very pragmatic approach to this, that it doesn't matter why, we saw big changes, but the researchers and us, we want to understand what's the mechanism that's really feeding into this large improvement in hand washing. So trying to understand if we have change behaviors enough to start new habits, or if we've changed social norms around hand washing, or, what are the various ways that this intervention could actually be influencing behavior. We're also keen on trying to see how this would work in other institutional settings. And I think something like a healthcare setting is another great example. We know that hand washing with soap in healthcare settings is suboptimal across the world. And can we use this similar approach in kind of changing infrastructure, changing the availability and kind of placement or color or, any of the ways that we could nudge hand washing in a healthcare setting to improve hand hygiene among healthcare workers?
Great. Well, Robert, thanks so much for joining us to help celebrate Global Hand Washing Day.
Great. Thanks a lot.
For more information about the nudging study Robert's been discussing, have a look at the links below. And you can stay updated on handwashing events around the world using the hashtag Global Handwashing Day. For more handwashing news, follow the Water Team on Twitter at USAWater. And as always, if you have a topic you'd like to see us cover in a future edition of the podcast, drop us a line at waterteam@usaid.gov. This is Global Waters Radio.